Well, good morning and welcome again to Gateway Friends Church. My name is Sung. I am one of the pastors here at Gateway. And one of the privileges that I have serving as a pastor here at Gateway is that I get to lead our missions arm of our church. And every summer we get to send out people to support our missionaries overseas. And this year, in the beginning of the summer, we sent out a team to East Asia. And then this past August, we sent out a team to Cambodia. And so the Cambodia team is going to share today about some of the things that they've experienced, some of the things that God is doing there, and give you a little update as to their trip. And so I want to call up Bev, Ron, and Stella up to the stage. And I think Bev is here somewhere. As she's coming up, just want to let you know that what she did in what they did in Cambodia for 10 days was they pretty much shadowed the missionaries and what they're doing in their ministries, visiting churches and groups and sharing the gospel with those that they've been trying to reach out to, whether it's family members or neighbors in the city. And so basically what they did in 10 days was basically what the missionaries would do in about 2 months. And so it was a pretty intense trip. And so they're going to share, and Ron's going to start.
Good morning, Gateway. So first and foremost, thanks for all the support for the trip, during the trip, before the trip, even after the trip, too. Just humbled and just blown away by generosity of this whole congregation. Thank you. So summarized, Cambodia trip was truly absolutely amazing. It really was. One story I did want to expand more on was my trip or our visit to Chang's house. So I wrote about it in my first update, and I just wanted to spend this morning sharing more about not so much the trip itself, but the afterthoughts of that visit. So just a quick recap of from my update of what our visit was like. The day itself just started out with a trip to our local market just to buy some more groceries for our host family. And then it was a long, bumpy, very, very bumpy ride through the back roads of this countryside. And so when the wife was done and Chang was done, you know, filling our stomachs full of their food and cooked by, you know, Chang and his wife, Fede just led us in prayer and worship and just held a very simple service for us. You know, honestly, it really felt like we were the only ones praising God in the middle of this vast, beautiful farmland. There was literally nothing around us. And so at this time, I remember relating it back to, you know, the Apostle Paul, the way he had to travel from city to city, from place to place, you know, encouraging people, teaching them, rebuking them, and so on. And I started to see Fede like he was our, Fede and Scott, like he was our present-day Paul, Apostle Paul. You know, well, if I was already so giddy with excitement about our first day of ministry together, you know, by the end of this trip, you can kind of imagine how wowed I am of these two guys. Just being around them, I was just super pumped that I was on the same team as these guys. You know, I was learning so much just by watching and experiencing them that towards the end of the stay, I was ready to just call home, tell my boss that I'm turning everything in. I'm staying in Cambodia with my new best friends, Fede and Scott. I was in a sense like in the perfect zone. It felt amazing. Like literally, I can't sum it up other than amazing. But you know, I really wanted to share is, you know, do you really want to know what is the most encouraging part though? The most humbling part of the trip. You know, it wasn't that it was difficult to come back, but it was just what was I doing over there? You know, it really made me think, okay? So now I mainly spent a lot of my time with Fede, but I'm sure I could easily say the same about Scott. So when I was watching them, I remember witnessing that, man, I can't believe how well-connected Fede was in Cambodia. He knew so many people. You know, nor was it really how easy it was for him to break the ice with complete strangers. You know, he was doing a great job over there. The most encouraging piece of this trip that God really wanted me to recognize, and it took me a while to kind of gather all my thoughts about this. It was what I labeled in my own head. It's called a Nathan, I'm going to spank you moments. And so Nathan is the youngest of his three kids. And so honestly, you know, what did that mean? You know, why is it that the most encouraging? Well, remember how I said that each day I was learning so much? You know, just sitting there experiencing, listening, just being present, just in front of them. I was learning so much. Well, each day when we went home to wind down, I also got to see another side of Fede. I got to see that when Fede came home, after a long day of just proclaiming God's name everywhere, that he had to go straight to the kitchen to take care of the dishes. You know, he went home to take out the trash. He had to get the kids showered, ready for bed, and on some occasions when the young one was misbehaving, he had to say, "Nathan, I'm going to spank you." Okay? So, you see, it was in these mundane, everyday personal family interactions that I learned the most. I learned that as much as Fede was this present-day Apostle Paul, whom I kind of set so high up there, that he was just another brother in Christ who simply said, "Sure, God, I'll do it." You know, he was just husband to Diane, a father of three, to his three kids. For, you know, ministry can be so exciting and adventurous, and ministry can sometimes be the main attraction. In my eyes, I needed to see, and for God to show me this complete picture, that I needed to see those not so exciting, those not so adventurous bits, and to know that the superhumans that I kind of set so high up there doing God's work, they were simply humans. Thus, the truth that I walk away from Cambodia comes from Romans 12. And honestly, it just sums up saying that we are just all humbly serving in the body of Christ. Yeah. But thanks for listening.
Good morning. First, I want to say it was just so much fun to be on a team with Stella and Ron, and to kind of witness the dynamics between them as a married couple. I didn't realize they were so competitive. but they are in a really fun way. Some of you might remember that I went last year to Cambodia. And when I shared last year, I told you that I had no idea why God was having me go there, because it was never on my radar screen. And years ago when Troy had shared about it, I thought, "Oh, Cambodia, that's nice," but you know, it didn't really resonate with me. But I prayed about it last year, and I did feel called to go, and I really went open to seeing what God wanted me to experience. And true to God's character and his economy, God allowed me to experience a lot. I got to see what missionary life is like. And as Ron shared, it was what the day-to-day living is like, adapting, embracing a different culture, and what all of that entails. And so here you see a picture of Diane, and she's at the marketplace, and she's getting her food. And that's what happens for them on a regular basis. They go to the marketplace. They don't have supermarkets where they live. And so she speaks Khmer to the people, but it's also a way in which she reaches out to the people so that eventually she can share the gospel with them. I also got to experience worshiping with believers who, despite the language, the cultural, the socioeconomic differences, they freely share their desire and their devotion to learn and grow and follow in Christ's footsteps. And their worship is simple. You know, there are not churches there like churches here. You see Buddhist temples, a lot of them, and very ornate ones. But the Christian believers there worship in people's homes on wooden floors. And it's simple, but it's just like the early church where they met in the upper room. And it reminds you of how Christianity grew in the early days. I also saw a country that, despite the $500 million a year that they receive in foreign aid, the majority of the people live in poverty. This is actually one of the better houses. It's the home of Chang, who Ron shared about. He has a farm, and this is a house that he built with his own hands on stilts. But many people don't even live in homes like this. They live under the homes. And that's because none of the money in foreign aid ever gets to the people. the best part, I think, was I got to experience the warmth and the humility of the Cambodian people. And they always welcomed us with smiles and hospitality everywhere we visited. It was on that trip last year that I believe God opened up my heart for the Khmer people, and he opened up my eyes to what living out the Great Commission looks like. So then this year, around the end of May, I hadn't heard anything about it, so I started asking Pastor Sung about this year's Cambodia trip because I really wanted to go back. And so I started pestering him about whether Gateway was sending a team this year, when that was going to be, what the details were, how, you know, who the team members were going to be. And finally, he responded. But the reason why I wanted to go back was I really felt strongly that God wanted the believers in Cambodia, especially the ones that I had met last year, he wanted them to know that he had not forgotten them. And I sensed that my returning could help in some way convey that message to them, because what I have discovered since going there last year was that Cambodia has a long, long history of being forgotten. They've been oppressed, they've been tortured, they've been neglected, and most of all, they've been forgotten. and it's not even that their needs have been ignored, it's like their needs have never even been considered. The people there have no protectors, they have no advocates, they have no allies to help them. But as I shared last year from Jeremiah 31, I believe God is really building up that nation, building up that people. He does love them with an everlasting love, and he's drawing them near with his loving kindness. And I believe that the hope of Christ that's being shared, especially by our missionaries, that is what is going to make the difference, especially when the foreign aid doesn't get to them. And we firsthand have seen how our missionaries are making disciples of this nation. So when I went back this year, what I wanted to do most was see the people that I had met last year. Even though I didn't speak any more than the pitifully few words that I learned last year and mispronounced so that they couldn't understand it anyway, I wanted to be reunited with those people and spend time with them. And I wanted them to know that they were not forgotten. I did not forget them. Our church has not forgotten them. But most importantly, God has not forgotten them. And so you see in this photo, it's a photo from last year. And that beautiful woman on the right, her name is Mien. She's a grandma like me. And she was the very first Khmer believer that I met, I believe, when we went to Preisvai. She was warm. She had smiles for us. We couldn't speak the language, but you know, somehow we communicated. And here's a photo this year when we returned. And I think Stella was able to capture the joy and the delight that we both felt upon seeing each other again. She was so delighted that someone had returned. And I believe that God conveyed to her that he had not forgotten her. And this is how it was with everyone that I saw again. I could see in their eyes the recognition and the joy of having someone come back and to be with them. And I believe that God was able to convey to them that he had not forgotten them. And so that was a really special joy this year for me to experience. It was really an honor and a privilege to be used by God this way. And it was a beautiful gift to be blessed by God in our reunion. And so Sung, I cannot wait to go back next year, if that's what God's plan is. But in closing, I just want to thank all of you for your prayer support and just your encouragement. It means a lot to us, and I believe it is through your prayers that God was with us every step of the way. And even though the missionaries are not here to hear this, I really want to thank the Sword and the Hernandez families for sharing their lives and their ministry with us. They opened up their homes and their hearts to us, hosted us for the whole time we were there. But most of all, they gave us a glorious glimpse of their lives, faithfully surrendered to fulfilling the Great Commission of making disciples. Thank you.
Hey, you know, there are so many highlights in Cambodia during the 9 days that it was so hard to pick one to just share with you guys this morning. But I believe where God opened my eyes most was the prison ministry in the city of Posat, which is the city where our missionaries' family, Fede and Scott, live. Now, when someone says prison, what do you think of? What images come to mind? Well, for me, I think of metal bars, barbed wires, and intimidating guards with guns, and prisoners in orange jumpsuits just standing by their cell, glaring at you as you walk by. Kind of like this guy up here. He's not one in Posat. While I've never been to a prison before, what and how I think of prison is really what I'm exposed to from movies. So you can imagine on the ride to the prison ministry with Scott and the team, I was very, very anxious. I was worried about safety. I was worried about security. And more importantly, I was worried about the prisoners. I know nothing about them. I don't know their story. I don't know their background. I don't know what they're capable of. I just didn't know what to expect. Now, as soon as we pulled up to the front of the prison, I didn't even know it was a prison. Security was extremely low. I don't even think I saw any bars and barbed wires. The security guards didn't even check our backpacks. And the prisoners just walked around in what looked like a schoolyard. So as soon as the door closed behind us, I was thinking, okay, I have to watch my back. And it was good that my husband was right behind me because I know at least if anything were to happen, he'll at least try and protect me. And if not, for sure, Bev's CrossFit classes would have paid off. Yeah. So when we stepped into this makeshift classrooms with tables, chairs, whiteboard, Bibles, and notebooks on the table, we were then greeted with the most unexpected greetings. Five men with one of the most joyful look on their faces gave up their seats for us. They brought us a bottle of waters. They even took out the fan to help us cool down the heat. And as a respect, I guess, in the Cambodian tradition, they would each stand up and take turn introducing themselves and welcoming us to their Bible study. And honestly, they had the most genuine smile on their faces. And for a moment there, I forget that I was in the prison. One of the inmates began to lead a Bible study. And at the end, he asked Scott and Fede and the team if his teaching was biblical. He welcomed our feedback and our corrections. But I think what really hit us unexpectedly was that he asked us to identify the text and the scripture that supported his teaching. You know, like here I am sitting among men with at most maybe a sixth grade education, hungering and experiencing, and I mean really knowing and experiencing God's word. You know, we during the Bible study, we were studying a passage from Mark, and God revealed to them that we are all spiritually crippled, and all of us are in need of spiritual healing in order to really see and really hear spiritual truth. You know, in my mind, I was thinking, what a beautiful picture. I couldn't help feeling humbled, convicted, and even a little bit ashamed. You know, here I am here back in the States. I have one more year to go in a Bible college. Extremely privileged and blessed to be in an environment where I can grow and continue to develop my spiritual journey. Now crossing paths with these inmates who know what it means to be liberated through his word, even though physically they're imprisoned. You know, here I am thinking part of our goal is to encourage our missionaries, to encourage Christians, and to encourage the people that we encounter. But yet, at the end of the Bible study, these were the inmates that encouraged us. They were the ones that prayed for us. They were the ones that offered us a psalm that you will see at the end of the video after my sharing here. And as I watched them worship, I see on their faces joy, liberation, and love. I held back my tears as I received their blessings, and I hear God saying, "My child, what are you afraid of? Be free of your fear of unknown and uncertainty. Be free of your fear of what the future may hold. Be free of your insecurity and find assurance in me. Trust me and worship me. You know, every mission, God meets me in different ways. And every year I have been blessed beyond imagine. And this year in Cambodia is no different. Instead of going there encouraging others, I walked away feeling encouraged. I walked away feeling blessed. And more importantly, I walked away impacted by this question. What are you imprisoned by? And are you truly liberated to experience the joy and the hope that you claim is anchored in Christ Jesus? What are you imprisoned by? And are you truly liberated to experience the joy and the hope that you claim is anchored in Christ Jesus? Thank you.
All right, we want to spend some time praying for Bev and Stella and Ron. And, you know, one of the most encouraging things that you can do as a church as they come back is to ask them questions and ask them questions about what God is doing there and the experiences that they've had. And so that is the way that you can support them. As much as we support them going, it's just as important that we support them coming back. And so, yeah, ask them things about their trip there and ask specific questions so that they can tell you about some of the more stories that they've done. And so what you saw here today and what they shared today is just the tip of the iceberg of what God has been showing to them. And so if you would bow your heads with me, I want to lift them up.